877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
It's been an amazing day today. You've heard our artists in residence speaking about timely and topical subjects with an Americana and an avant-garde sort of twang to them. You've heard the live report from Jenka Soderberg about the upcoming resignation of Governor John Kitzhaber. You'll be hearing more about that later today on the KBOO Evening News, because our folks are out in the field. Our volunteers are incredibly well-trained. They're investigative. They are out there all over the area, bringing in news and public affairs for you that is absolutely grassroots, absolutely ground level. This is the great thing you support during the waning hours of our News and Public Affairs Day, Resistance to Tyranny, and the final couple of days of our winter membership drive. Get your Valentine's gift for your sweetie by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Get a gift membership and they will thank you, and you will have a fantastic relationship for the rest of your days. It's true.
Coming up next at 1:30, it is 1:30, we have Chris Hedges, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt.
Thank you, Courtney. There is a point that I want to talk about and focus on. Two points. The first being that we got here by design. David Noble wrote a very fine book about this called America by Design. We didn't just stumble here by accident. I had written a book before Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, which I did with the great cartoonist Joe Sacco, called Death of Liberal Class. And that book was originally done for a publisher, a large publisher in New York, Knopf. And when I turned in, Derek's probably had this experience, when I turned in the manuscript, the editors at Knopf read it and hated it and offered to assign an editor to take out what they called all the negativity, and then Knopf would be happy to publish it. Well, you can imagine how that went down. So I called Nation Books, and you get half of your advance up front. I said, just give them what they've already paid me. You can have the book. And in that kind of transformation, it focused primarily on the press and didn't have that original title. I realized that it wasn't just the press, which I come out of, that had collapsed as a liberal institution, but all of the pillars of the liberal society. Of course, the Democratic Party, the liberal church, which I come out of, I graduated from seminary, culture, which has been completely commercialized and trivialized, labor, the labor movements, which have been destroyed. And that search for what happened, the origins of those establishments that once made piecemeal and incremental reform possible, led me back to World War I, which I think was, on many levels, maybe the most seminal and dangerous moment in modern human history. Of course, that began the whole process of industrial warfare. You created weapon systems whereby hundreds, at times thousands, of people could lose their lives in an instant without ever seeing their attackers. You created total war in terms of mobilizing whole economies. But it also, and with it, and I think that, this is what Derek's point was on this panel before I came out here, this kind of sociopathology manifests itself in many ways throughout the society. And as Randolph Bourne wrote, war is the health of the state. And so, on the eve of World War I in this country, we had numerous radical populist movements that had finally cornered the capitalist power elites. The labor wars in the United States were the bloodiest labor wars in the industrialized world. Hundreds of American workers were murdered, and thousands were injured, and many thousands, tens of thousands more were blacklisted and could never work at all. You saw the rise of anarchist, communist, socialist, anarcho-syndicalist movements, great radical writers, whether Jane Addams, organizers, the settlement houses, Appeal to Reason, which was a socialist journal with the fourth highest circulation in the country, the masses. All of these people had begun at great cost, to transform the society. And when Wilson finally pushed us into war, and there was heavy pressure, of course, on Wilson to go into war, with the collapse of the Russian front and the ability of Germany to move 51 divisions over to the Western Front, where they could mount an offensive, which they did, of course, that next summer, which nearly destroyed the Allied forces, the bankers on Wall Street had lent huge sums of money to the British and the French. And if the British and French did not win the war, those sums would never be paid back. So Wilson, who had run on a campaign slogan, he kept us out of the war in 1916, ends up pushing us into the war. And there's a debate. I went into the Princeton University archives to actually read the debate that was taking place in the White House between Wilson and Walter Lippmann and Arthur Boulard and other intellectuals who were trying to decide whether, because the country that there was no popular support for the war at all. Indeed, you know, when Wilson went to the Capitol to declare war, he had to be protected by an entire troop of cavalry for fear of anarchist bombs. And Wilson wanted to impose the sedition and the Espionage Act, which Obama has now abused 8 times to shut down whistleblowers, to essentially, through censorship and through the threat of imprisonment, criminalize dissent. And Lippmann and Boulard and others argued that by employing the systems of modern mass propaganda, the understanding of crowd psychology pioneered by figures like Le Bon, Trotter, and of course Sigmund Freud, you could essentially create emotional manipulation to get the masses to call for their own enslavement. And Lippmann won. And, you know, you should read Public Opinion, which Lippmann wrote after the war, which is this kind of very dark blueprint. It's where Chomsky and Herman get that term, manufacturing consent. That's from Lippmann. And so they create the first system of modern mass propaganda, which, of course, is with us today. And this system understands, because of the studies by Le Bon, Trotter, and others, that people are not moved by fact or reason. They're moved by the skillful manipulation of emotion. And it's quite disheartening to read those stalwart figures like Jane Addams or Randolph Bourne or Eugene V. Debs, who held fast to that moral imperative against wartime capitalism and exploitation and war itself. War essentially driven by the concerns of Wall Street, not by the national security interests of the United States. And one of the things that all of those writers despair about is how not only how easily the masses have been seduced, but how easily the intellectual class has been seduced. Jane Addams being booed off of a stage in Carnegie Hall, Eugene V. Debs finally being imprisoned for several years for calling people not to resist the draft, which Wilson had to impose 30 days after declaration of war. And of course, they created a film division. Hollywood, not surprisingly, was churning out all sorts of potboilers like the Kaiser, the Butcher of Berlin. We get its own news division, which created all publications had to support the war, appeal to reason, did in their editorial page, the masses didn't, and shut down until after the war. And by the end of the war, all of those mechanisms, that system of mass propaganda, the use of the Espionage Act and the Sedition Act, which were reserved for those recalcitrant radicals who refused to conform, were then became part of the fabric of American society. Once World War II was over, the dreaded Hun was almost instantly replaced with a dreaded Red. The systems of mass propaganda, the Committee for Public Information led by George Creel, had been a muckraking journalist who oversaw the propaganda machine, ended his career, by the way, working for Nixon and McCarthy in the McCarthy hearings, transferred to Madison Avenue and began working on behalf of corporations. And those corporations used this system of propaganda to instill the cult of the self, you know, the hedonism of consumer society, to foster the kinds of anxieties which consumer society essentially needs to instill within a population in order to generate profit. And they upended traditional values, self-effacement, thrift. And I think oftentimes when we talk about American values, what we're really talking about are corporate values that have been imposed upon us.
You are listening to investigative journalist Chris Hedges, columnist at Truth Dig and the author of 12 books, including the New York Times bestseller, days of destruction, days of revolt. Speaking of days of destruction and days of revolt, we have a pledge drive happening right now. And we are here at Pledge Central with people waiting for your phone call. If you want to become a member of KBOO, and you really should become a member of KBOO, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please call 877-500-5266. And now back to our exclusive with Chris Hedges.
They then used the harsher forms of control, the Sedition and the Espionage Act. They shut down Appeal to Reason. They shut down the masses. That's when Berkman and Emma Goldman got deported. That's the Palmer raids. And you began, there's a writer who writes about this period that I like very much, who's not read any as much as he should be. He's a brilliant writer, Dwight MacDonald. He said that two things happened at the end of the war. And one was that we created what he calls a psychosis of permanent war through anti-communism and now through the fear of the war on terror. And he said that that psychosis of permanent war was not understood or envisioned by any of the political theorists of the 19th century, including Marx. And essentially, through the manipulation of fear and the psychosis of permanent war, you can destroy all of those mechanisms that created an opening within a democratic society. I teach in a prison, and if you teach in a prison, it's exactly the opposite of teaching in a university where, you know, if you teach in a university, you try and write some pithy course description to entice undergraduates to take your course. If you write a description for a course you want to teach in a prison, you have to get it through a prison administration, so it has to be as banal as possible. I wrote one which got passed saying I wanted to teach American history and our Constitution and our founding fathers, which they approved. And then when I got into the prison classroom, I gave every one of my students a copy of Howard Zinn's The People's History of the United States. Now, that's an extremely important book. It's also moving because there are African-American students who've never been taught their own history. And I would be giving talks out of that book, and Zinn is very cognizant throughout the book of the experience and the suffering of African-Americans in American society, and I would hear my students go, damn, we've been lied to. But Zinn understood that all of the openings in American democracy were driven by populist and radical movements that never achieve formal positions of power. And this, I think, echoes Karl Popper's brilliant point in The Open Society and Its Enemies, where he says, the question is not how do you get good people to rule. That's the wrong question. Most people, Popper writes, who are attracted to power are at best mediocre, which is Obama, or venal, which is Bush. The question is, how do you make the power elite frightened of you? That's the question. And that's what we've forgotten on the left. It's not our job to take power. Power's the problem. And all of these movements, whether it was the abolitionist movement, the suffragists, the labor movement, and maybe the last great movement, the civil rights movement, none of these movements achieved power. And yet you could argue that until he was assassinated in Memphis in April of 1968, the most powerful political figure in the United States was Martin Luther King. And that's what we have to reclaim. What happened is that, and this goes to Marx, that capitalism, unfettered, unregulated capitalism, and Marx calls it a revolutionary force, that unfettered, unregulated capitalism has built within it a self-annihilictic quality because it has no internal restraints, and many speakers have dealt with this issue yesterday and today. It will exploit, it will commodify everything, human beings, the natural world, until exhaustion or collapse, so that 40% of the summer Arctic sea ice melts, and fossil fuel companies like Shell look at it, the death throes of our planet, as a business opportunity. And the check on unfettered, unregulated capitalism were these radical populist movements. And the last great sort of contribution to the check on capitalism came with the breakdown of capitalism in the 1930s and the New Deal, which would have never happened without the Progressive Party and all of the Wobblies and the old CIO and everyone else. And it's interesting that Roosevelt was very cognizant of what he was doing and wrote afterwards that his greatest achievement was that he saved capitalism. Because with the breakdown of capitalism, he created mechanisms. And that's, Chomsky writes that the liberal class acts as a kind of safety valve. So you regulate the system by creating the public works programs and Social Security to keep capitalism afloat. But none of that happens without these radical forces putting pressure on the center of power and making the liberal class, which was never designed to be the left, respond. And I don't have time to give you Chomsky's. I wrote this book, Death of the Liberal Class, and I told Noam I should have put you as a co-author because it's Chomsky's understanding that the liberal class, a functioning liberal class, is a vital element to maintaining democratic capitalism. But it's broken, and it's broken because there's no pressure put on it. And what we have seen is the rise of this faux liberalism, embodied in particular by Bill Clinton, who speaks like Obama in that feel your pain language, and yet assiduously serves corporate interests. So it's under Clinton that you get NAFTA, the greatest betrayal of the working class since the Taft-Hartley Act of 1948. It's, you get the destruction of our welfare system, and under our old welfare system, 70% of the recipients were children. You get the deregulation of the FCC, so roughly six corporations now control the airwaves. 90%+ of all Americans get information that are filtered through six mega corporations: Disney, Clear Channel, General Electric, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. You get the omnibus bill, the crime bill of 1994, which sees the explosion of our prison system. This understanding war, like mass incarceration, is a business. The bodies of poor people of color in our internal colonies, as Malcolm X called them, are worth nothing on the street. Our surplus labor, put them behind cages, in cages, and they can generate $40,000 or $50,000 a year in profit for phone companies, laundry companies, guard companies, the private prison industrial complex. And then, of course, the destruction of Glass-Steagall, which had separated commercial and investment banks, which precipitated the financial meltdown. But Clinton understood that by doing corporate bidding, he would get corporate money, which he did. So when Obama actually ran in 2008, he got more corporate funds than the candidate he was running against.
That is Chris Hedges here on KBOO Portland. We are in the middle of our pledge drive. Now we'll hear from Pledge Central.
And here we are, Conch and Bill. I'm Bill. Conch is the person you're not hearing right now. And
we can fix that.
Yes. We are here asking you to become members or to up your membership by calling 877-500-5266. And someone will be answering the phone for you and walking you through the process, which takes maybe 2 minutes, more if you're really, you know, wordy about how much you love KBOO. You can also go to kboo.fm on the internets and contribute there. In the top right corner, it says donate now or donate today.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy to catch up with. You can also stop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We've got coffee, and we'll give you a little tour around. And you can look through the thank you gifts box if you like. But, you know, a good way to start is call in with a $75 pledge of support for yourself or a loved one, Valentine's Day and all that. And you can get a 4-gig hard drive with amazing archival material plus recent material that we at KBOO here have gathered for you. Call in just like Paul did to Renew in Northeast Portland. Thank you, Paul, at 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. We are in the middle of our News and Public Affairs Day. The theme of the day is resistance to tyranny. We're listening to Chris Hedges talking about days of destruction, days of revolt. And, you know, if you go on, by the way, we're in a matching period right now, right this very minute. We're in a matching period. So when you call in with a $5 or a $10 or a $20 pledge of support, that gets matched one for one. It gets doubled. 877.
Up to the next $250.
877-500-5266. Yeah, we're listening listen to Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges is one of those folks who loves to come into KBOO. You should support the fact that we have a guy who is who shared a nomination of Pulitzer Prize when yes. he was with the New York Times. Did amazing reporting from Sarajevo, and now is going around the U.S. You know, listening to this show right here, this hour's worth of material is more than like I got out of a semester of history class back in high school, because you don't have to pick through. He's got all this amazing material that he's distilling down to. He's also a funny guy. He drew a picture for us when he came.
He
into
was
the studio.
Also, by the way, he was a seminarian. He went to
this is true. Yale, I believe.
I think Harvard Divinity
Harvard.
School.
Okay.
One of those. You know, high class divinity schools, yeah. And was a reporter for the New York Times for many years, and has experienced war firsthand, and has done great reporting around the world, and is now using his background, his intelligence, and his passion to speak out the way you're hearing him today. And unsurprisingly, it's here at KBOO. KBOO in Portland and on the internet everywhere is the station for the community. We have volunteers from the community who create programs that speak to all of us and to particular communities that especially are underrepresented. And you can help. You can make a donation. Remember, right now, the next $250 will be matched. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Walk right in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. There's still some lunch left over. There's yeah. coffee. There are folks that you can see being wonderful. And you know, in doing the work that we do here, you can talk to one of the phone answerers who will help you give money.
Whether
and
it's
we're
a,
always in favor
whether it's
of
credit
that.
Card or a monthly deduction from
right.
checking, or if you'd just like to be billed, a pledge is a promise. And but the way to get started is to find out from them all the options that you have when you call toll free 877-500-KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. Bill just told you about the community. You know, in the digital age, the community is global now. And that's, you know, one thing that Chris Hedges understands. It's why he loves to come into the studio whenever he can. Winola LaDuke loves KBOO as well. She's going to be on at 2:30 speaking on grassroots strategies for mitigating climate change. So this is the kind of thing you support. This is keeping the equipment humming, keeping the folks who are the volunteers who are going out gathering the news today. We've got a lot of news happening right now. You want to make sure that you support all of the equipment, all of the training that happenings to get folks out there. And it starts with your pledge of support during this matching period, this one-for-one matching period at 877-500-KBOO.
And I just want to stress again, matching. Up to $250 will be matched. And you can do it at kboo.fm or 877-500-5266 or walk right in carrying your bag of bucks at 20 yes at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and give it to us, because it's like giving yourself a gift. And it's all here, last time for now, 877-500-5266.
If you can't get enough of News and Public Affairs Day, for a $75 pledge of support, that's $6.25 a month, you can get the 4-gig KBOO hard drive with amazing material. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of amazing archival and recent material, including cultural stuff like the artist in residence stuff that you heard earlier. The way to start to do that is by asking these phone volunteers how you can get started, and that number is toll free 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-KBOO. Now some more Chris Hedges.
And that kind of faux liberalism is something that I saw in Yugoslavia. Well, because what it does is, in essence, create political paralysis. You have a self-identified liberal elite which cannot respond rationally to the problems, unlike Roosevelt and the New Deal. It cannot, in fact, respond at all. I mean, I was, as many of you were, involved in the Occupy movement, and a rational response by a functioning liberal elite to the Occupy movement would have been a moratorium on foreclosures and bank repossessions, a massive jobs program, particularly targeted at people under the age of 25, a rational public option healthcare system instead of this insane defective product that we're now all forced to buy that feed corporate profits. And yet none of that happened. The state responded by physically eradicating the occupying encampments around the country. And that's a very dangerous sign, because it shows that the state is capable of speaking only in one language. And that's the language of force and coercion. We have now amassed the most, and I covered the Stasi state in East Germany, we have amassed the most potent security and surveillance apparatus in human history. We are the most eavesdropped, monitored, filmed population on the planet. And when you live under a system of wholesale surveillance, you can no longer use the word liberty. When you are watched 24 hours a day by your government, that is the relationship between a master and a slave. Now, the state understands very well what's coming, and they are preparing in a way that certainly everyone in this room, I think, has a grasp of what's coming and is attempting to prepare, but which the wider population, entranced, if I can steal a line from Derek, by their electronic hallucinations, is totally unprepared for. And the state, if you've watched, has passed a series of draconian laws, essentially stripping us by judicial fiat of our constitutional rights, to the extent that, and somebody was very right the other day about the Constitution being an anti-democratic document. As some of you know, I sued the president in federal court over Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, and much to the surprise of the president, I won. This act it overturns over 150 years of domestic law, permits the military to carry out domestic policing on American streets to seize people who are deemed to substantially support. That's not material support. That's not a legal term. Substantially support Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or something called associated forces, whatever that is, strip them of due process and hold them until, quote-unquote, the end of hostilities, which in an age of permanent war is forever, in military facilities, including in our offshore penal colonies. We have seen the inability on the courts to respond to wholesale surveillance, which, of course, is an egregious violation of our right to privacy, and, I speak as a former investigative journalist, makes investigative journalism into the centers of power impossible. Because if they can trace your sources, which they can, they shut them down, which is why Snowden fled the country, because he understood. So there is no ability now to essentially shine a light into the inner workings of power because of mass surveillance, which is very dangerous. Because the crimes of state, number one, will never be exposed. And because of a dysfunctioning judiciary, which has become a wholly owned subsidiary of the corporate state, even when they are exposed, as Snowden exposed them, there's no response. Nobody is protecting us anymore. And we have undergone, and I don't have time, and I urge you all to read Sheldon Wolin's great book, Democracy Incorporated, Our Greatest Living Political Philosopher. He's 92. I just did a 8-part interview with him. You can watch on the Real News. But he describes the system we live under as inverted totalitarianism, in that it's not classical totalitarianism. It doesn't find its expression in a demagogue or a charismatic leader, but in the anonymity of the corporate state. That in inverted totalitarianism, you have a reactionary or a revolutionary force that overthrows a structure. In inverted totalitarianism, you have a structure that purports to pay fealty to electoral politics, the Constitution, the iconography, the language of American patriotism, and yet internally has seized all of the levers of power. And that's where we are, which means that we must go back to the radicalism of mass movements, which stood in perpetual opposition to power. And the next book, which will be out in the spring, is called Wages of Rebellion. And it argues, and I think, again, this is something that was I found within, we all know how bad it is. And yet, resistance is a moral imperative. I don't fight fascists because I'm going to win. I fight fascists because they're fascists. And we're going to have to recover that ethic, which indigenous communities, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull understood. Resistance is a way to affirm life, even in the face of what Freud would call the Thanatos instinct or the death instinct, which is what is propelling global capitalism and endless war or superpower, which is the face of global capitalism. I want to close by reading a short section from Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, when Cornel West and I held a people's hearing of Goldman Sachs in Zuccotti Park, and then we marched on Goldman Sachs. Faces appeared to me moments before protesters from Occupy Wall Street and I were arrested on a windy November afternoon in front of Goldman Sachs. They were not the faces of the smug Goldman Sachs employees who peered at us through the revolving doors and lobby windows. They were not the faces of the blue uniform police with their dangling plastic handcuffs, or the thuggish Goldman Sachs security personnel whose buzz cuts and dead eyes reminded me of the Stasi. They were not the faces of the demonstrators around me, the ones with massive student debts and no jobs, the ones weighed down by their broken dreams, the ones whose anger and betrayal triggered the street demonstrations and occupations for justice. They were not the faces of the onlookers, the construction workers who seemed cheered by the march on Goldman Sachs, or the suited businessmen who did not. They were faraway faces. They were the faces of children dying. They were tiny, confused, bewildered faces I had seen in the southern Sudan, Gaza, the slums of Brazzaville, Nairobi, Cairo, Delhi, and the wars I covered. They were faces with large, glassy eyes above bloated bellies. They were the small faces of children convulsed by the ravages of starvation and disease. I carry these faces. They do not leave me. I look at my own children and cannot forget them, these other children who never had a chance. War brings with it a host of horrors, but the worst is the human detritus that war and famine leave behind, the small, frail bodies whose tangled limbs and vacant eyes condemn us all. The wealthy and the powerful, the ones behind the glass at Goldman Sachs, laughed and snapped pictures of us as if we were an odd lunchtime diversion from commodities trading, from hoarding and profit, from the collective sickness of money worship, as if we were creatures in a cage, which in fact we soon were. Goldman Sachs Commodities Index is the most heavily traded in the world. The financial firm hoards futures of rice, wheat, corn, sugar, and livestock, and jacks up commodity prices by as much as 200% on the global market, so that poor families can no longer afford basic staples and literally starve. Hundreds of millions of poor in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, and Latin America do not have enough to eat in order to feed this mania for profit. The technical jargon learned in business schools and on trading floors effectively masks the reality of what is happening: murder. The cold, neutral words of business and commerce are designed to make systems operate, even systems of death, with a ruthless efficiency. The people behind the windows and those of us with arms locked in a circle on the concrete outside do not speak the same language. Profit, trade, speculation, globalization, war, national security. These are the words they use to justify the snuffing out of tiny lives, acts of radical evil.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 2:03.
And you're listening to Chris Hedges on KBOO Community Radio during this, our winter membership drive. We are in News and Public Affairs Day. This is the last day to support public affairs on KBOO. We're a little bit behind in the amount that we have been trying to raise. Our phones went out on Tuesday. That impacted us and set us behind. So we're now trying to catch up, and we need your help to get back on track. Listen to what Chris Hedges said about going back to the radical grassroots, resisting not because we'll win, but because it's the right thing to do. Join us, Radio of Resistance. Join us here on KBOO Community Radio, the alternative, the independent radio station that does not take big corporate donations. Take your money out of places like Goldman Sachs and reinvest in your community. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Whatever you're doing, just take a moment. Stop. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're in your car. Pull over. You know, take a couple minutes out. Pull out your phone and put those numbers in, 877-500-5266, and pledge to give $5 or $10 a month to KBOO.
And this is an especially good time because we have a $250 matching fund. So our the next $250 in donations will be matched dollar for dollar. And it's just easy as calling 877-500-5266. I want to thank members Paul, who renewed in Oregon City, and Kim, who renewed in Northeast Portland. You are what keeps us going. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM on the web, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in beautiful Portland. These are all places that you can bring your bucks and contribute. We will be going back to the show in the moment it takes me to finish saying 877-500-5266.
You heard about the origins of this ruthless efficiency that is modern capitalism and slavery this morning with that talk by Ed Baptist. If you missed it, pick it up on the flash drive. You can get the KBOO flash drive by signing up for a subscription of $6.25 a month to KBOO, or just a $75 contribution that includes 4 gigabytes of MP3s you can put on any device. You can share with anyone. These are free. Once you get them, you can copy them, you can use them. This is shareware, and it also includes a internet security toolkit on there that you can use to protect your computer and your email. And you can listen, educate yourself about the origins of modern capitalism and the alternative to that, which is community. We're going to be hearing Winona LaDuke coming up later this hour. Right now, we're listening to Chris Hedges. And we also, in addition to this flash drive where you can get all of the audio, you could also get a book. If you donate $60, that's $5 a month, you can get The World As It Is by Chris Hedges. In The World As It Is, Chris Hedges says, we are saved not by what we can do or accomplish, but by our fealty to revolt, our steadfastness to the weak, the poor, the marginalized, and those who endure oppression. We must stand with them against the powerful. And that's what KBOO does. We are radio of the underserved, radio of minority communities. We're providing a voice for the voiceless, fighting back against the powerful interests that want to, in many ways, push independent radio off the airwaves. And here we are providing it, continuing to provide it. We only do it with your support. So do call now, 877-500-5266. Again, that number, if you need to remember it and you don't, you know, can't call right now, you need to pull over or something, or maybe you're in the middle of something, when you get a moment, it's 877-500-KBOO. So it's pretty easy to remember, 877-500-KBOO. Just call it, takes just a couple of minutes, set up that monthly subscription, do it now, support your community, be a part of the alternative to the 1%.
The glass tower before us is filled with people carefully selected for the polish and self-assurance that comes with having been formed in institutions of privilege. And their primary attributes are a lack of consciousness, a penchant for deception, aggressiveness, a worship of money, and an incapacity for empathy or remorse. And it is always the respectable classes, the polished Ivy League graduates, the prep school boys and girls who are the most susceptible to evil. To be intelligent, as some are, at least in a narrow analytical way, is morally neutral. These respectable citizens are inculcated in their elitist ghettos with values and norms, including pious acts of charity used to justify their privilege, and a belief in the innate goodness of American power. They are trained to pay deference to systems of authority. They are taught to believe in their own goodness and are unable to see or comprehend, and perhaps are indifferent to, the cruelty inflicted on others by the exclusive systems they serve. And as norms change, as the world is steadily transformed by corporate forces into a small cobble of predators and a vast herd of human prey, these elites seamlessly replace one set of values with another. These elites obey the rules. They make the system work, and they are rewarded for this. In return, they do not question. We seem to have lost, at least until the advent of the Occupy movement, not only all personal responsibility, but all capacity for personal judgment. Corporate culture absolves all of responsibility. This is part of its appeal. It relieves all from moral choice. There is an unequivocal acceptance of principles such as unregulated capitalism and globalization as a kind of natural law. The steady march of corporate capitalism requires a passive acceptance of new laws and demolished regulations, of bailouts in the trillions of dollars and the systematic looting of public funds, of lies and deceit. The corporate culture epitomized by Goldman Sachs has seeped into our classrooms, our newsrooms, our entertainment systems, and our consciousness. The corporate culture has stripped us of the right to express ourselves outside of the narrow confines of the established political order. We are forced to surrender our voice. Corporate culture serves a faceless system. It is, as Hannah Arendt wrote, the rule of nobody. And for this very reason, perhaps the least human and most cruel form of rulership. Those who resist, the doubters, outcasts, artists, renegades, skeptics, and rebels, do not come from the elite. They ask different questions. They seek something else, a life of meaning. They have grasped Immanuel Kant's dictum, if justice perishes, human life on earth has lost its meaning. And in their search, they come to the conclusion that, as Socrates said, it is better to suffer wrong than to do wrong. This conclusion makes a leap into the moral. It refuses to place a monetary value on human life. It acknowledges human life, indeed all life, as sacred. And this is why, as Arendt points out, the only morally reliable people are not those who say this is wrong or this should not be done, but those who say I can't. The greatest evildoers are those who don't remember because they have never given thought to the matter. And without remembrance, nothing can hold them back, Arendt wrote. For human beings, thinking of past matters means moving in the dimension of depth, striking roots, and thus stabilizing ourselves so as not to be swept away by whatever may occur, the zeitgeist or history or simple temptation. The greatest evil is not radical. It has no roots. And because it has no roots, it has no limitations. It can go to unthinkable extremes and sweep over the whole world. There are streaks in my lungs, traces of the tuberculosis I picked up around hundreds of dying Sudanese during the famine I covered as a foreign correspondent. I was strong and privileged and fought off the disease. They were not and did not. the bodies, most of them children, were dumped into hastily dug mass graves. The scars I carry within me are the whispers of these dead. They are the faint marks of those who never had a chance to become men or women, to fall in love, and have children of their own. I carried these scars to the doors of Goldman Sachs. I placed myself at the feet of these commodity traders to call for justice, because the dead and those dying in slums and refugee camps across the planet could not make the journey. I see their faces. They haunt me in the day and come to me in the dark. They force me to remember, and they make me choose sides. Thank you.
That was Chris Hedges, investigative journalist, columnist at Truth Dig, and the author of 12 books, including the New York Times bestseller, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. Chris Hedges spent nearly two decades as a foreign correspondent, reporting from more than 50 countries. He was a foreign correspondent for the New York Times for 15 years. He left the Times after being issued a formal reprimand for denouncing the Bush administration's invasion of Iraq. He is currently a senior fellow at the Nation Institute.
And we are senior fellow sister at Membership Central. It is that time. It's Public Affairs Day. It is a matching donation time. $250 in donations will be matched. And you can help by going to your phone and dialing 877-500-5266. I would like to thank, by the way, one of our community members, Marta Lang, who came in today and gave volunteers and staff chair massages. She's been practicing for 10 years in the Portland area, and her treatments range from gentle to deep. And you can find more at Marta Lang, MartaLange.com, MartaLange.com. And so I wanted to let you all know that. Then the other part of it is KBOO.FM on the web is another place where you can contribute. Up in the right corner where it says donate, give it a click, and that will be an easy way for you to do it. And another easy way is to do monthly donations. For instance, a 1 hour's wage, for instance, that you are making, if you're, you know, whatever it is, $9 an hour maybe now, or say you're a psychiatrist and you're making $150 an hour or so. Well, each month, give that amount, because that shows your commitment to your community. And the range is from $5 a month, and for which you can get Chris Hedges' book, The World as It Is, or any number of other things which our phone answerers can fill you in on. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
You know, if you're lucky enough to get that $15 an hour wage every hour, and the push for the $15 an hour minimum has reached you already, maybe you could consider giving $15 a month to KBOO. And if you do that, I would say get the flash drive that contains all of this audio and a whole lot more, and Chris Hedges' book, The World as It Is, Dispatches on the Myth of Human Progress. You know, he used to be a New York Times reporter, a foreign correspondent for two decades. He left the New York Times when he, after he received a formal reprimand for denouncing the Bush administration's invasion of Iraq. Someone who actually chose to to stand his ground, and he says he never sought to be objective. How can you be objective about death squads in El Salvador, massacres in Iraq, or Serbian sniper fire that gunned down unarmed civilians? He is the kind of journalist that digs deep, the kind of person that we provide a voice and a space for on KBOO. He talked about days of destruction, days of revolt. The alternative to destruction is revolt, and the revolt that we are a part of is a community that actually challenges this system and challenges the assumptions that consumer capitalism is the end-all be-all of life. This community radio station is very unique around the country and here in Portland. It's a station with deep roots here in our community. You heard Chris Hedges talking about the importance of roots. Here at KBOO, we've been around since 1968, before I was born, and this station is going strong and continues to grow strong with your support. It was an experiment when it started. Will people actually pick up their phones and support a station month
never.
After month?
They'll never do that.
Well, they are doing it, and they continue to do it. And I know so many people. We have over 5,000 people that give and continue to give and support KBOO. We want new members as well, so if you have not yet become a member, do pick up your phone, 877-500-5266. Now is the time to give, because this is the last day to support public affairs programming during this winter membership drive. This is our public affairs day. This is the day when we come to you and say, support the news, support the talk, support all of this amazing radio that you hear day after day, these analyses, these perspectives that you don't get on other stations, the really in-depth reporting that our public affairs and news teams put together. Call now and support this station. Whether you could do $5 a month, $10 a month, maybe the basic membership of $40, or maybe you're somebody who could give $500 and help us reach our goal for this next 10 minutes. We've got about 500 to go. So please do that right now. If you're the one who can put us over the top, be the hero. Call us right now, 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka. I'm sitting here in the studio. You can come and see me and meet me and Bill. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th. You can drop off your contribution that way. And if you come, you could pick up your copy of The World As It Is. They're sitting right here in front of me. Chris Hedges' book, Dispatches on the Myth of Human
Progress. I can see them clear from the other side of the desk. That's how big they are. I wanted to fill you in on what else is happening in our News and Public Affairs Day. At 2:30, as we've mentioned, Winona LaDuke speaks on grassroots strategies for mitigating climate change. Very important. At 4 p.m., the news show all over the world, Democracy Now! At 5 p.m., the news show here in Portland, KBOO News, will have a special report from the Portland Action on Global Divestment Day, where actually I came from before I came here.
That was done at the mayor's office.
Yes, it was at the city council, city hall, and there were a whole bunch of people, and we are sending photos of ourselves with little signs indicating, telling Charlie we need him to divest. We need the city to divest. And finally,
KBOO was there, of course. Our reporters are over there.
At 7, de-gentrify Portland. I just read an article that Portland is the most gentrifying city in the country. This is scary.
Yep.
And it's really bad for folks who are not the gentrifiers, who are not well settled in terms of an income. Speaking of which, that's another reason to support the $15 now. So we want you to help us by calling 877-500-5266, because helping KBOO is helping yourselves, helping the community, helping the volunteers and staff that come here every day, all day, to give you music and news and public affairs that you won't get anywhere around. You can also, as Jenka noted earlier, come on in, see us live and in living color at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, or go to the net, kboo.fm. You can donate there. You know what else? To tempt you, we are having a sweepstakes Our prize is number two is $300 in gift certificates to Portland Saturday Market.
And which has been Tai Chi classes.
Forever. Yes, yeah. And Tai Chi
you
classes.
You get both of those.
Such a deal. Four months worth.
And Bill, we just need to reiterate this, that we have 7 minutes left in the match, and we have not yet made that match. So if we don't, we may have to give that donor back that $250 and say, oh, our KBOO listeners didn't come through. We couldn't do it. We couldn't convince them. I don't think we'll need to do that, though, because I think we'll have a couple of people call in the next 7 minutes to actually meet that match of $250. I know that we can do it if we just have maybe two or three people giving that $10 a month contribution, and in which case you'll get that flash drive filled with the audio content. If you could do the $15 a month, that adds up, and that will get you both the flash drive and the book, The World As It Is. So do call in the next 6 minutes and help us reach that match, 877-500-5266. And we want your support right now. We need your support right now. This is the last day to support public affairs programming on this membership drive. Tomorrow's the last day for that sweepstakes and the last day of our drive altogether. So do call. I know you've probably been putting it off, but call right now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Jenka and Bill. Coming up next on our special programming today, we have Winona LaDuke. She'll be speaking on grassroots strategies for mitigating climate change. That's at 2:30, right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film Malcolm X, playing at the Clinton Street Theater February 21st and the 22nd at 7 p.m. Starring Denzel Washington, this biographical film about Malcolm X by Spike Lee will be playing to honor the 50th anniversary of Malcolm X assassination. That's the film, Malcolm X, playing at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland, on Saturday, February 21st, and Sunday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The 17th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
Homeless people deserve housing, not shelters.
I wish they would do something about getting people off the streets.
I'm not giving up, and I don't want nobody to feel sorry for me.
That's the Homelessness Marathon broadcast, coming to you soon and heard right here on this radio station.
Hear the Homeless Marathon here on KBOO beginning at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, February 17th, and continuing until 6 a.m. Wednesday morning.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Please call 877-500-5266 to show your support for KBOO today. Breakfast was provided by Helzer's on Alberta, serving the community since 2004, using family recipes and local ingredients. Serving breakfast every day starting at 7 a.m., located at 1538 Northeast Alberta Street. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekdays. Dinner was provided by Pambiche, a Cuban restaurant serving Cuban Creole cuisine and Cuban cocktails, located at 2811 Northeast Gleason, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
I had a dream. I kept having this dream about riding our horses against the current of the oil. And so I went out to see the Lakotas. the White Plume family, and I said, you know, that Keystone Pipeline, you're probably, I think you should ride against the current of that oil. That's the way I dreamed. We were riding against the current. I dreamed that, you know. And they all looked at me in that knowing way. I said, oh. I said, we'll think about that. We'll have some ceremonies.
This is Winona LaDuc speaking on grassroots strategies for mitigating climate change. This is a talk she gave at Portland State University.
We'll think, you know. And so I waited. I was waiting for them to come back with their decision. I says, I'll organize some press. I'll get you some money for the road. Get your horse trailers going. I waited and waited, you know. And then one day I had that, what do you call that, the burden of dreams. I had this middle of the night. I was like, what you thinking? You got your own pipeline. So in the meantime, I had gone out and bought myself a horse trailer. And my kids are like, you don't even have a truck to haul the horse trailer. Because you need a big truck to haul a horse trailer with living quarters, you know what I'm saying? But Craigslist, you can find anything. And then I, after I got that, and my kids are looking at me, they're like, Mom, and I'm like, we're going to ride. And so then we went out and we got prepared to ride that first one, that Alberta Clipper proposal. By the time they're done with that, that's going to be bigger than the proposed Keystone XL. That's bad pipelines, you know? And so I got ready to ride that, and then the Lakotas called me up and they said, we're ready to ride. I says, all right. So then that's how we got the Triple Crown. We rode all three of them. That was last year. And I just got back from it. We did 200 miles at the end of August. Again. So our spiritual leaders instructed us to ride four times. And so far, I just have to say that the Enbridge Corporation has not done too well in getting their pipelines into Minnesota. So, and we're going to keep it up, and I also heard I'm getting no Christmas cards from them. Or Hanukkah cards either. So, Miigwech, thank you again very much for the honor of being here with you today. As I thought about what I was going to visit with you about, first I want to thank the people from out here for having me, the Native community and the Miyanskum family and all the Native people from out here who came out. I had a great day, and thank you for being so gracious and for always being so kind to me when I come. So the Native community out here, thank you again. And you know, this last week I had this reporter come see me, and he was doing an interview with me, and I don't know if this happens to other people, but he wanted to interview us about our farming. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, our farming operation. And he said he'd come out, you know, to visit me, and I found